Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 57. On this week's show, we are going to count down our top five Disney sidekicks. To my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining me via Skype is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And the man behind the Gazette is also with us tonight, Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. First time for this one, so here it goes. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, or traveling anywhere around the globe, visit the experts over at MEI Travel, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you are listening to The Trouble. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/pogo and his music at soundcloud.com/pogomix. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show under DIS Magic Hour Pod. That is Diz Magic Hour Pod. Over on Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you can join our group. Head on over to iTunes, give a 5-star review, the biggest, best way to support the show, and we can read it for you live on the air. We're also available over on Google Music Play, and all of our episodes are streamable and downloadable across your platforms over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, where can they find the pretty pictures?
The pretty pictures on Instagram are at Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
And Ryan, where can everyone find you and the thing that you do so well for now 9 years?
Just over 9 years.
Over 9 years.
MainSTGazette.com is the site. If you do MainSTGazette, Main Street Gazette on Instagram or Twitter, you'll find us that way. And search Main Street Gazette on Facebook and you will find us there.
Awesome. Actually, you know, Brian, you shared a post from the Gazette today. What was that about again?
It was the if there was one thing that you have always wanted to do that you haven't done at Walt Disney World.
What was your answer to that, actually?
Mine was Yeehaw Bob.
You've never done that.
I have never done that. And I always say that I am going to do it. I want to do it. And then the trip just gets away from me. And next thing I know, we just never went there. You know why? Because it's kind of out of the way. It's not easy to get to in terms of, you know, oh, let's just hop off the monorail because I don't drive. I take the buses. So it's not as accessible. And I guess that's usually probably why that happens.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know why I said it that way, because I had never seen him until we moved here. Actually,
yeah, well,
so, yeah, it never really. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's one of those things that is like kind of out of sight, out of mind, because it's you don't ever go near that resort. So
yeah, unless you're staying at French Quarter or Riverside, you have to make a special effort to get there.
Yep.
Ryan, what would be yours?
What I put down was the Behind the Steam Trains tour, because I can remember growing up at Fort Wilderness and hearing the whistle in the mornings from across the lake. And I can remember hearing, I see it all the time. The train, I just love all things really with the steam trains. And it's just one of those things, I've just never, ever booked it when I know I'm going to be there. Cause it's always like, well, that's going to eat a morning. And then, but I need to go do this. And I've never pulled the trigger on it.
You should, if only you were visiting soon, you could maybe go visit that. That might be a thing to do.
If only that were happening.
Melissa, what about you? I didn't actually tell anyone I was going to bring this up, but is there something you could think of?
Yeah, I did actually answer the question. I put down Victoria and Albert's.
That was going to be my answer.
Ha ha.
Yeah, that's actually my answer too.
Yeah.
That's the top of my list.
It's like
I
we should
go
together
there.
Or something.
Whatever. I mean, like, I can just find someone, but, maybe. You know, it's going to be tough for you. You know?
Me?
Yes. Yeah, we should do that. We should do that one of these days.
Yeah.
When Brian, drops a sack of cash on us or something.
Cool.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, just get on that.
Yeah, of course.
Christmas present, right?
Christmas presents. Multiple.
Yeah.
So, folks, what are we talking about today? A couple of episodes ago, I can't remember specifically when.
I think it was the villains duo.
Was it the
villains hero?
That would make sense. Yeah. We brought up, or someone brought up, I want to say it was Ryan or you.
Me?
Was it you?
Probably.
Yeah. Wow. Was it me?
Nah. She's going to take the credit whether it was Ryan or not. So
it's a good point. She cheats at board games. So
she,
I don't cheat.
Yeah, you do. Don't worry about it. Everyone already knows. So why did you want to, you know, go into this? Like, what brought that up for you in particular?
The sidekicks?
Yeah, let's talk about it. What are we doing
this
week?
Specified that.
There you go.
I don't know, because there are a lot of movies where that sidekick character is very integral to the story, whether it's, you know, a foil for, you know, the villain, or just to kind of add some more comedy or whatever it is. So I feel like they're a really big part, and they have been for a long time in the movie history. So I feel like they should get their due.
And who doesn't love a whimsical raccoon?
Everyone.
Raccoon full of whimsy, Brian. Whimsy, yeah. I say.
That's the only good kind of raccoon.
Ryan, what did you... I didn't give any rules. There were no rules, as usual, with this, which, in hindsight, is probably a terrible idea, usually.
But I completely cheated on at least one of these.
Oh, did you really? Did you... I mean, because I went into live action and animation. Did you do the same thing, or did you stick?
Yeah. Okay. I like, you know what? Anything's fair game at this point, as long as it's a film. And then I even bent that rule a little bit. So.
Wait. Okay, you start. That's officially how that's going to work, then.
So I was just going to say that one at the end, and we'll just like let it hang there.
All right, well... you know what, Ryan, why don't we start with you? What is, I don't know if I had like a number one. I had five, but I don't know if I put it into a top. That'd be, actually, I kind of feel like mine would be obvious. So, just start with wherever you want to start.
Like I said, I just kind of, I threw 10 on a page and then I just crossed things off and tried to make a list that way. But we'll start out with Mittens from Bolt.
Wow.
So when I wrote that down, my wife goes, "You tell everyone it's because it's just like me and it's my favorite character." So, and I think this is one of the things that I love about, you know, my wife, her favorite character in any movie is always a secondary character, like a sidekick, a secondary. Those are the ones that she is going to fall in love with, and Mittens is far and away like her favorite character I think she's ever seen in anything. But you know, you have Susie Essman, who's playing the cat who's been declawed, but is the really tough street cat, and she's trying to keep Bolt under control, who just is lost his mind, and that sassy but tough but still have a heart kind of a thing. Like it's a great sidekick.
I gotta admit, I saw Bolt once, maybe twice on TV, and that is it. I'm actually looking forward to going back to it because that was a surprise hit.
Yeah.
Like when that movie came out, Disney was in a bit of a rut. Well, Disney wasn't a rut. They weren't a bit of a rut. They were in a rut, and that was really just kind of being built up to be another one of those. And then it did really well. It actually kind of did better as it stayed out a little longer because of the word of mouth.
Yeah, and then once it came, you know, got onto video or got onto Disney Channel, and people started watching, like, oh, this is kind of that whole, that tenderhearted kind of classic Disney feel to it. My kids are going to love this. It's pets they love. There's some real funny characters. Yeah, I can totally get into that.
Yeah. So Bolt, a film that we will eventually get to. And by the way, just a little side note, we are going to be getting back to the movies. Me traveling so much has kind of made that very difficult. But don't worry, we're going back to our movie reviews next week. Brian, who do you have on your sidekick list?
Well, I have to start off with,
don't do it,
the best bro sidekick of all time is LeFou from Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any other sidekicks that have had such a man crush on their main guy as LeFou has for Gaston. he's kind of like the lovable idiot to me anyway. And he's got that, you know, he's the only sidekick that I can think of, like, off the top of my head that has... He like starts the villain song, and he basically sings the main villain song for the most part. And just that whole, that's my favorite song, the Gaston song. And just what happens to him in that scene. He's my man. He's my favorite.
Are you excited to see how if different or however they handle LeFou in the live action. I don't think it's going to be very different.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be very different, especially based on who's playing him.
Who? Oh, Josh Gad, right?
Josh Gad.
He pretty much is LeFou.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Actually, they released a couple of stills from Beauty and the Beast, the live action, this week. And they were promoing today the sneak peek that's going to be on the Blu-ray if you buy Beauty and the Beast again, if you don't already own it. So I'm sure it will be online minutes after it's released, so I'll be able to watch it that way. But I'm really excited for that live-action film, which I guess – I mean, I was kind of excited for Jungle Book, but because Jungle Book was so good – and I still haven't seen Cinderella. I'm almost thinking about just saving it until we do it for the show. That I heard was so good. And now I'm anticipating their live action films, which is strange.
It's weird. It's something I never thought either, especially when I heard they were doing Beauty and the Beast, because that is my favorite. But I mean, I'm a big Emma Watson fan from Harry Potter. I think she's perfect. And I love the shots we've seen so far. Far of what Beast Castle looks like. I just love that look that they're going for with it, and even the look of Lumiere and Cogsworth.
Yeah,
I mean, they're kind of creepy.
I thought it was kind of creepy. Ryan, did you saw those stills also? Yeah,
yeah.
What do you think of that?
There is, for when we had the first stills, I'm looking like trying to figure out where the faces are. You know, it's easy for Cogsworth, but it's kind of tricky for everyone else. But yeah, I think it's going to be really, really, really great when it comes out. I think it's, they've been upping the game with all these films, and I think Beauty and the Beast is like a culmination of all of that.
Melissa, what did you think about the stills release of Cogsworth and Lumiere?
I think they look lovely. They have a very gothic look, and if you know anything about like gothic art or gothic architecture, that type of style, the way they do it, it's like thin and very flowery, but it's like a light kind of look. I know in the animated film, Cogsworth makes the Baroque pun, but Gothic was like after that. So the light, very flowery, twirly look to Lumiere, I really liked. And even Cogsworth, the live action one, I felt like it looked lighter in a way. It had a lighter look because of all the carvings than like the very, like, because if you try to have him look how he looked in the movie, it's very like flat. So I think to have that in a live action, it wouldn't go off as well. And then if you were going to put a face on it, it probably also wouldn't look as,
But you actually you can see the face on Cogsworth. You can't really make it out on. Yeah, but you could make out eyes.
Yeah, actual eyes.
Yeah, it was great. But with Lumiere, he seems like he's still sort of in the actual candle form.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like an oil painting when I saw it. That's what I thought it looked really, really pretty. And if you've ever get curious and watch the original, well, not what the original, because there's like 1,000 versions of it, but there's a old version of Beauty and the Beast. It was an opera, which you can find on Criterion and whatnot. And there's a lot of visual input, actually, from that Jean Cocteau's Beauty and the Beast. And if you ever want to check that out, I would highly recommend checking that out. So that was a really long one. Sorry, guys. So Brian with LeFou, huzzah, and then sent us off into the land of movie news, which, well done, Brian, well done.
I try.
Melissa, give us your first, and I feel like I know what your first should be, but you also play these games weird. Of course, there had to be a clarification before about what this show was, and she had two lists. It was,
Well, yeah, because I wasn't sure where. I didn't get the top five notation, so that I didn't know, of course.
It's always a top five.
No, we did top three.
We've done top three, like, once.
Once for the Pixar shorts.
Because there was, like, seven of us on the show, and I was like, all right, three is enough. Because.
And because there's not that many Pixar movies, so to do five, it would be repeated.
Yeah, we would just name all of them.
We did our top three heroes and villains also.
Okay. What is.
On that note, I had a good list and a bad list. I had like a villain's sidekicks and a hero's sidekicks because I started listing some sidekicks and I was like, oh, but this one's really good too. So, yeah. I'm going to make it a two because it come from one movie.
Go ahead. I already knew it. This was going to be your first one, so go ahead.
Did you? I don't think you do. You have a very lovable monkey and a very noisy parrot. and both of them are my favorite because they're both so animated. I love Abu being the sidekick.
I was giving you credit that you didn't cheat, and I thought I knew, but I was wrong. And like, I mean, did everyone think she was going to say pan pan?
Yes, of course.
I took it off my list because I know she has
exactly,
it
exactly. Yeah,
and that's exactly the type of
wait, what?
Don't worry about it. That's the exact type of swerve WWF garbage that goes on in this show whenever a list is included with Melissa. Okay, so talk about the two characters that, to my knowledge, never say a word to each other.
No, they don't say a word to each other, but they're sidekicks to... What are you talking about, say a word to each other?
I just figured that... Don't worry about it. Okay, so you got a two-for-one in one movie. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you have the hero's sidekick as Abu, who uh-oh. I love because he's very jealous when Aladdin starts to, you know, have someone else that he's interested in, and yeah. he steals the apple from Jasmine. I think that's one of my favorite parts. Or when he bends over and pretends to be the sultan, and you know, he bends over and all the apples and jewels fall out. And then you have Iago, who is, I don't know, he's just brilliant. I love him. And yeah. he's, you know, definitely the comedic, I guess, counterpoint to Jafar's very, you know, dark and foreboding, villainous. I don't know, I'm running out of words there.
You don't have to say as many words. Character. Then. You can just say it in less words. It's okay.
I don't
actually
know that.
He has one of my funniest parts in the movie when the door closes and he's like pleading to Jafar. He's like, Jafar, the door. You know, like it's actually one of the times where he's not screaming because, you know, that's Gilbert Gottfried.
That's a Gilbert Gottfried thing.
But I love that part when he gets stuck in the door. I absolutely love it. I think it's... I mean, Robin Williams has like the biggest laughs because it's Robin Williams. But he definitely has my number two laugh in that movie.
Yeah, I love when he is... the Sultan's on the magic carpet and he's like chasing Iago. And then Iago hits the pillar and he falls down. And he has little Sultans going around his head.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite friends.
All right, so you got a twofer on there, but okay, well done, well done, well done. All right, so I guess it's time for my first one. Now, I have five, and it's actually five characters, only five characters. Crazy, I know.
You're silly.
I'm going to start with a live-action film, actually. And I'm going to say Peter Lorre in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, because he's not only sidekick to the professor, he's also sidekick to Ned. He's got double sidekick duty. He's faithful to a fault. He's also probably the most logical out of all three of them, but then is also the biggest coward when he needs to be. And that logic, though, is something that you don't usually see in sidekicks. The sidekicks are usually the really dumb ones, and we're going to get to a really dumb one later, I'm sure. but he is absolutely great. Peter Lorre, of course, wins bonus points for me because he's Peter Lorre. And it's one of the best live-action films Disney has ever made. And he is just the perfect, as you were saying before, Melissa, foil. Just fits perfectly right in between the professor and Ned the entire film. Mm. He actually sort of switches allegiances even during the film.
Yeah.
But you feel that he's making the right choice in both situations. Because the professor kind of loses his mind. A little bit, you know, halfway through that movie and everything that he's willing to go along with that Nemo is planning, or, you know, as much as he knows what Nemo is planning, while Ned is instantly suspicious, and that makes Consul, you know, Peter Lorre, just not like Ned. Ned is just the rough and tumble guy, and he's kind of bullying him a little bit too, but then they sort of, they bond a friendship, and they also rob, so that always makes good friendships. So actually, my first sidekick is Peter Lorre. That was the first one I thought of. Well, not the first. The first one I thought of is real obvious, and I'm just wondering who's going to say it first. But he was my absolute, my first one that I thought of. So Peter Lorre, 20,000 Leagues, wins for me, at least. Ryan, what say you next?
Oh, let's see where I want to go next. You know what? Okay. So I was trying to think of somebody threatened that with a great psychic, and you see him kind of throughout. But... this is the trio of Lock, Shock, and Barrel from Nightmare Before Christmas. And the fact that they're, you know, Oogie's henchmen, but they're also working, you know, they don't want to get on Jack's, brought bad side. That whole place that playing in between, like trying to run that middle road, kind of like Peter Lorre was it really with 20,000 Leagues, like he played both sides. they want to play both sides so that they can get as far ahead as they can, but and they're just such dolts about it. And they have one of the, you know, that movie's filled with great songs, but that song is great, and you have, you know, some of the top tier cast taking a secondary voice role in this movie, and it's just, they're just a great trio to play to watch and like go, you're gonna mess this all up, aren't you?
And again, they own one of my favorite parts in that film when they bring back the Easter Bunny.
Bunny!
Yeah, exactly. That's like one of my favorite parts in that film. I remember when I first saw that movie, that was the part that made me laugh the most.
Yeah.
Was him, was that other guy with the axe in his head yelling out Bunny.
Yeah.
I just absolutely loved it. They're really creepy too.
Yeah.
Lock, Shock, and Barrel. Like they actually seem dangerous.
Mm.
Like yeah. I get the feeling they've definitely murdered people.
Oh, yeah.
Like for
multiple
real.
People.
Yeah, like really murdered people.
Well, they have the masks that are just like mirror, you know, they're very like almost porcelain versions of themselves. And you take them off and it's like, oh no, that's really scary underneath.
Good pick. I know Scott would really dig that one, actually. It probably would have made Scott's list, as a matter of fact. So Lock, Shock, and Barrel. Did anyone else, have we had any crossovers yet?
No.
No, not yet.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, Brian, what do you have next?
I'm going to go to Hercules since Melissa passed it up before. But I'm going to go with Danny DeVito as a Phil. He's one of my favorite performances by any, you know, any voice performances. Hercules has a couple of great ones, obviously, with Hades, with James Woods, and with Danny DeVito as Phil.
But Hades wouldn't be a sidekick, though, so that's...
No, he's not a sidekick, but I meant, like, voice... Like, those are two of my favorite voice roles in any movie.
Okay, I understand.
Is those two. He's, you know, Ryan had said something about it earlier. To me, like most of the times in these movies, the sidekicks are the people that we relate the most to or the most relatable to people. You know, the heroes are kind of like they're up on a pedestal for the most part. But he's, you know, the struggle that he goes through and, you know, just the scene when he's deciding whether or not to train Hercules. And he's got the right mix of like that, the physical comedy and just the, you know, like the wise sagey advice. And I really like that character. Yeah. And it looks like Danny DeVito, wise, which is kind of scary.
Wise, yeah. Sagey advice, but through the filter of Danny DeVito.
Exactly. Which, and that's how I want all my advice to come to me.
So great.
And I love that song. That song, like,
it's
so
a
catchy.
Good song. Yeah.
I just love the, you know, beat to it. And even when he's like in the beginning, you know, with the okay.
That movie seems to be very forgotten.
I love that movie.
You know, like Mulan, even as much as I feel like Mulan is sort of in that list too. Like Mulan, well, luckily because Epcot has a country on it, you know, she at least still has a place.
Yeah.
Where Hercules was right around that time, and I think it was, I don't think it's as good as Mulan, but I think it's very good. And it just sort of doesn't get anything.
I know, we need that Greek pavilion.
Yeah, I guess that Greece would do it. Pavilion. That would be fun.
Yeah.
God, I really hope something happens really fun over there in Epcot soon.
Yeah.
Just so we know it's happening, but I'm really excited for the actual, you know, announcement.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love that song. That's a really great song that Phil has in that. And
that whole movie,
Danny DeVito really
music.
Seems to like own that role. Like he's not, he is not sleepwalking through that part at all.
No.
And yeah, he is a mentor, but he is sort of a sidekick to him too, because he's his biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's
yeah.
Herc's biggest cheerleader. And also, you know, he becomes like the Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, like the conscience,
At first, he's just the trainer, but then he becomes the conscience.
Yeah, like, you should probably not listen to Hades. Like, that might not be a good idea.
Dave, oh, man. And I tell you, look, if you are of a mature age and you're not watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's the funniest talk show. Funniest TV show, maybe right behind Arrested Development for me.
Mm.
It's just endless. And, you know, say what you will about Arrested Development, but Sonny has been on for like 13 seasons now. And a huge reason for that is because DeVito is in there. He was the one who got them through the first couple of years when the ratings weren't great. So I like that. Awesome pick. Very good. Melissa, God help me.
Okay, I'll stay with Hercules.
Okay, you're going to do that? Okay.
She's afraid someone's going to take it from under her, so.
Well,
Well, no, actually, it's funny because I was just catching up on the Once Upon a Time season that had Hades in it.
Oh, how is that?
It wasn't terrible. They only did the blue hair thing like a couple times, so it was all right.
It didn't look too cheesy.
Oh, okay. It looked terrible, but they didn't do it. Yeah, they didn't do it a lot, so probably for that reason that it looks so terrible.
How is that show so popular?
I don't know, but they actually had a really good guest on that in this season, so I thought that was pretty funny.
All right, okay.
He was the hero.
Fine.
Always is.
Whatever.
But yeah, I have to go with my Pain and Panic sidekicks because they are probably the best comedy part of that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Just the way that I love when they transform into things, the puns. You know me and puns, like when we're worms and they transform into worms. And
is that a pun?
It is for me.
Okay.
I'm going to use it as one. We are worms. And just them bungling everything with, you know, dropping the fate's eye, or one of my favorite parts. Oh, I think it's Pain is drinking the, no, it's Panic drinking the Hercules juice or whatever. Okay. He's like slurping it and he's just like thirsty.
I don't even remember that. I like barely remember that.
I can't wait till we watch that movie. I could quote so many.
At this pace, it'll be 2027 by the time we get up there. What was that, 97 or so? Yeah. Around there? Mm-hmm. Actually, it's kind of, you know what? Before we know it, it's going to be coming on up. All right. I guess I'll do it. Look, there is one person that belongs on the top of this list, and that's it. There's one guy. One. And that's Kronk.
Right. I was saving that for you.
I was going to wait, but you know what? No. I'm going to get this shot out of the cannon right now. Kronk is, if we had a top five, he is my number one.
Yeah.
Patrick Warburton and paired up with Eartha Kitt's Yzma is, to me, the best 1-2 punch in Disney villain history. He's not even really a villain. He's just so dumb he doesn't realize he is.
That's my favorite part about him.
That's so great. I do think he is the funniest sidekick ever. He's just perfect. That movie shouldn't have been as funny as it is, and he's funnier than everybody else, which is really funny. So my number one sidekick for laughs, for a heart also. He kind of gives the movie, like, you feel for Kronk.
Yeah, you, like, root for him at certain parts.
Yeah, you actually, like, you want him to, you know, rebel against Yzma and stuff. It almost becomes, like, Vader Emperor-esque at the end. But actually, you know what? Never really put that together. Yeah. That's pretty accurate. Just, you know, in Return of the Jedi, he just turned the Emperor into a cat and then threw him. It probably would have been better, actually. That would have been a better ending. So my number one, but I'm just going to get him now because I feel like I'm just waiting for someone to say it. Kronk, Emperor's New Groove. That is my number one, but my second one that I say on my list. Because there are more, you know, little darker side ones that I'll get to next. Ryan, where are you at next?
All right, let's go with the ultimate straight man sidekick with Baymax.
Good call.
Because I mean, he literally has one setting. It's like, and he's going to tell you the obvious. He's, you know, not gonna move fast, and it's just he's the ultimate straight guy to play against every other character in the movie, and he's brilliant. And they took a basically emotionless face, and everyone loves it. And he's just it's just a great character to have around in that film.
I love all the memes they make with that. I am not fast.
Yeah. Oh, I've never seen them. Oh, I've never seen them. I gotta look them up. Send me a couple, because I want to share it or whatnot.
Okay.
All right.
I love Tumblr.
Did anyone else have him actually? Cause, man,
no,
that
totally
I'm really
like
surprised.
Went over my head.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot that one.
I didn't think of that one. And Big Hero 6 is another one.
Yeah, it was literally one of the first, I would say probably one of the first two that came to my mind. I think, oh no, Baymax has to be on that list.
That's awesome.
He's still doing character, right?
Yeah, over and Epcot, yep.
That's great. I'm really happy about that. I want that movie to keep going. And
well,
they are doing a sequel, right?
No, the TV show.
TV show,
and
you're
they're
right.
Putting it in Tokyo, in Tokyo Disneyland. They're doing a Big Hero 6 thing.
Oh, they really?
That's why I want to wait till 2021.
An attraction or just like?
I believe it's an attraction, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I wish that we would get something as cool as that. Oh, yeah. We're getting Star Wars.
I'll take Star Wars. It's okay.
Hero 6, another film that I'm almost positive made our underappreciated Disney film list.
Yeah.
Because it did well. Those characters are really liked. I've seen a lot of great cosplay, actually.
Yeah.
At cons and stuff, especially, and I forget the character's name, the one who throws like all the balls and stuff.
Yeah, like the chemistry stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Honey Lemon.
Yeah.
Or whatever her name is.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of really great cosplayers of that costume in particular.
Mm. Yeah.
And hey, man, Stan Lee, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, what more do you people want?
Exactly.
So, come on. Awesome.
You got a
pick.
Marvel movie animated. You know, let's go with that.
Yeah, I remember when that was coming out and everyone's like, don't worry, it's not going to be anything like the book. And I'm like, I don't even know the book. So that was really, that was a interesting way that they went about that. And it was incredibly well done.
Yeah.
Again, the Disney animation team has been on quite a roll lately. Brian Bogad, speak to me. Oh, Muse. What do you got next?
I have Mr. Smee. Besides LeFou, he is probably my second favorite. I have a villain sidekick, I think, stereotype. I just like that bumbling, kind of heavy set, bulbous nosed, villain sidekick, because that seems to be my thing. He just hit the scenes with him and Hook are just, I don't know, it's just gold. When we went back and watched it for the Disney Movie Hour, Magic Hour, I hadn't watched it in a really long time, and I really fell back in love with both Hook and Smee from watching that. And he's just a great – they just have great chemistry. I mean, for an animated film, like, it sounds – I feel like it sounds stupid to say, but they just have, like, a really great chemistry together. And he makes that movie for me.
Yeah, and Smee is another one who you kind of – you root for.
Yeah.
You're like him as like, you know what I mean? Like, he's a character that you would probably most relate to. It would be like the Smee character. And that's my number three.
And of course, that voice actor, Bill Thompson, has come up repeatedly already during our, you know, movie hour segments with being he was the King Hubert in Sleeping Beauty. And he was the Dodo in Alice in Wonderland. And who else was he? Oh, Jock in Lady and the Tramp most recently. I think that was the most recent one that we did that featured him. Oh, no, Sleeping Beauty.
No, Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp was after that, right? Yeah. 59 or something like that?
Yeah. Oh,
it's blurring.
It's blurring. Yeah, we gotta jump back in there. But we will, of course, we'll see him in the future again, no doubt. So, yes, very good pick. Mr. Smee, one of the classics. One of the probably one of the iconic sidekicks, honestly.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Especially if we're just looking like at the animated pictures, I don't see why. Like Smee, I think would be on that Mount Rushmore of sidekick. Melissa,
yes.
What do you got next on your list of yours?
Well, I'm gonna pull from my good list time, and I'm gonna go with another pair. Because, I don't know, I like pairs. And I love these two. They're my favorite. Timon and Pumbaa
really
great.
Okay, that pair is all right.
Yeah, that's actually a pair. That's
an actual duo. Yeah.
I got that one that time. But I love Nathan Lane. And he's like, I don't know, he's my favorite. And every joke and every way he delivers it, I can't help myself from laughing. And the way that, you know, when they do the Hakuna Matata and just, you know, he stops Pumbaa. Not in front of the kids.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Ernie Sabella.
Yeah.
As Pumbaa, whom I remember I saw him in Man of La Mancha on Broadway, and he was Sancho Panza. And when he came out, When he came out and he started singing, I'm Sancho. Guess what? The man sings the same way. Like, he wasn't doing a voice. That is his voice. So when he came out on stage singing that, I burst into laughter. Because all I pictured was a warthog like running up on a Broadway stage. Actually, great. You know what? I want to say, you know, towards Nathan Lane, as I really give him as much credit as putting a character into Timon, almost the same level as Robin Williams gets as Aladdin. That is a hell of a performance. Yeah. And that's a character that could easily have become very annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
You know, but he plays it so well in the middle, as Nathan Lane has done kind of his whole career, taking characters that on paper, a lesser actor might make them into kind of nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Like there's obviously they went way, you know, over into parody while doing The Birdcage, but you could have went way into parody offensive while doing The Birdcage. But Nathan Lane made you love that character.
Yeah.
And he made you love this character. And he did return. Did he did the prequel ones, did he not?
I believe he did Lion King 1.5, yeah.
Okay.
And that's
a pretty good one.
That is one of my favorite, yeah, like, direct-to-DVD prequel, like, so good. And I love, my favorite part of his whole performance has to be when he's singing the song with Pumbaa for the Are You Aching
for the bacon, some bacon? Yeah.
My favorite.
All right, so Timon and Pumbaa. I think also, would you agree, maybe, Ryan, is that also the two of them on top of each other for Mount Rushmore? Do you think Timon and Pumbaa make that?
I think so. I think it's one of the most recognizable, especially if pairs, if you're looking at pairs of sidekicks, they're easily at the top of everyone's, you know, knowledge base.
I think so, too. I would, yeah, yeah. I'd go with that. Good work, sweetie.
Yay.
My God, thank goodness. Every time it's like just putting your head into an oven. You never know what's going to happen. Don't put your head into an oven. There's actually a pretty good idea of what's going to happen,
sure.
Actually. Most of the time. And you know what? It's the same thing, actually. You know what? That was a perfect metaphor that I just used. Okay. My next, I'm actually going to skip over one person. I'm going to go to another. I'm going to go back to live action. And I'm going to say that this is, he's not only, it's a he, spoiler. it's not only a sidekick that has stuck around since the 40s, but he has been reintroduced on the big screen. And I am so happy that my second favorite superhero has the best sidekick right now in film, in my opinion, and that is Bucky. That is a Disney film. It is live action. I'm within my rights. Bucky is the best. I think right now him and Chris Evans are the best part of the Marvel series. And it's because while Bucky is his sidekick and he started as his sidekick and you actually believe that they are friends, they are morphing into equals.
Yeah.
And if things go the way I think they will, that sidekick will become the hero in the near couple of years. In film time, it won't seem very long, like if you watch them one after the other, but it might be 4 years away. Sebastian Stan brings he's been in some terrible movies, all right? Like, he didn't have a good ramp up into this one, but he really nails the conflicted nature of Bucky. But they were more of sidekick and everything in the first film, so that's really what I'll refer to overall. And I just love the both of them. Whenever they're on screen, you know, they just play perfectly off each other, but then they're able to reverse that role when, you know, Steve Rogers becomes Cap and then Bucky is kind of his sidekick.
Yeah.
So that's what I love, is that it starts off one way and then it goes in a completely different direction, which is actually true for another one of my picks that I'll do next, I guess. So, and even better, if you want to talk about dynamic duo sidekicks, Sam Wilson and Bucky in that one scene in the car in Civil War is maybe the funniest Marvel sequence that they've done yet. And that is such a sidekick moment.
Yeah.
When Steve Rogers is out talking with Sharon Carter. It is my favorite moment of that movie. In a movie filled with awesome moments, that dumb grin on the pair of their faces is just the absolute highlight of awesome in that film. So we actually get two sidekicks there, both who in the comic way now have taken over the mantle of Cap. So Bucky, one of the best sidekicks of all time, not just in Disney, in comic book history and now in film history.
And
Ryan,
he also started before Captain America in Once Upon a Time.
He was a Mad Hatter. Thank God he got out of that alive.
Jefferson.
Yeah, he got out of that hole.
Oy. Ryan.
All right, we'll go back to animation, and we'll go with, this was the first one I really thought of, and to me it's like the epitome of what a sidekick is, and it's Little John from Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. You.
I was. I thought I might be doing that. I was afraid. I took so many off, and I'm like, I'm probably going to screw Brian on this.
No, it's all right. It's okay.
But he had that, the common sense. He tries to, he's always saving Robin Hood's skin. He's trying, he takes care of me, cooks, he cleans. Like, he's just always there for this, swashbuckling Robin Hood we have. He's funny. He has a big heart, and play, the voice is Phil Harris, whom, we see, the Jungle Book, he's Baloo, and the Aristocats, he's O'Malley. Like, he has this very recognizable Disney voice, but he is in that Little John place, he is just the epitome of a sidekick.
That's another film. I can't wait to get up to it, to kind of revisit it, because Brian, you love that movie so much, and so does Ryan, that it makes me feel that I have a really big blind spot in my Disney history, because the 70s and 80s are just kind of blank spots to me in the overall picture.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a childhood thing for me. I grew up, I watched that. My mom said I wore that DVD. Mm-hmm. I wore that VHS tape out because I would watch it so often. Yeah. So,
and now I feel Big like John that, is on yours. Like I'm sorry,
Little John. Yeah, Big John. Yeah, Little John was on my, not Big John. Big John Studd would be on my WWE list, but he's not. We're not doing that.
His different finishing level. Move was a body slam. A body slam.
Body slam. Not even an impressive one.
No, just not kind of, really. Just kind of picked
a one of the mill one.
Okay, so he was on your list as well.
He was. He was actually my number two also. He is, like Ryan said, he is like the quintessential sidekick. He does all the things. Without him, Robin Hood would probably starve to death in the woods. Because he's the one that, does all of the little things that need to get done. And he's, he's a good-hearted bear. And, and what?
It's not funny, that's all.
And he's, to me, that's the quintessential sidekick is a Little John.
Well, did you want to do another one since we're...
Well, I had like a couple of other ones, but I'll throw another one out there. Mushu from Mulan.
That was on my honorable list.
Yeah,
that was on my honorable list also. But I mean, that is, to me, that is my favorite Eddie Murphy voice role. I'm not a huge Donkey fan. I mean, I don't mind Donkey, but...
Well, Donkey is just another version of Mushu. My note on Mushu, because I had him on the honorables, was it was, the first time Eddie Murphy did this voice was the funniest. Because then he just did it five more times in Shrek. There was no difference.
Exactly. No.
But that one got a little tiresome because it was five movies worth. But yeah, I absolutely loved Mushu and Mulan's interactions. And he tries so hard but fails so miserably all the time, except for the Batman moment at the end, which I always enjoyed. He has the funniest moment for me in Mulan when he yells, what's the matter? I never saw black and white before, and then rides a panda up a tree. I don't know why, but the animation of that panda just walking up the tree makes me laugh so much because it's just so wacky and so dumb. Absolutely love it. So, okay, dip into your honorable pool. Melissa, what do you got there?
I like Mushu. He's funny.
Yes.
I have a lot of random ones on here now because I couldn't make up my mind.
Wait a minute. Time out. Wait a minute. There, list five. You said you wrote 10 and now you can't find five?
No, I didn't say I can't find them.
Okay.
I had a couple crossovers also. So
she combined half her list, so what are you going to do?
That's also true. No, I'm going to go with Flotsam and Jetsam from Little Mermaid.
Okay, yeah.
Because they are probably one of the creepiest pair of sidekicks, and they're just so evil. And I love when they pair up and... only one of their eyes glow. It's so creepy. And the way slither and they do, foil Ariel's plan. So they do help Ursula out. And I never feel like they didn't do what some other sidekicks do where they bumble the plan. Like they actually,
no, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good effective.
At their job. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that even makes them worse, because not only are they animated very creepily, but they actually are effective as, you know, villains. So, and then the worst part is when they die at the end and they get turned into actual Flotsam and Jetsam, just like little nonsense in the water.
I don't know. Do you think that, would anyone agree that they're sort of a more sinister version of the Siamese cats?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like, you know, in movement, and they're effective in what they do. Because the Siamese cats are only in that one scene just to ruin Lady's life, pretty much. And then I don't really think that we see them again.
Not really, no.
I don't really remember seeing them. Yeah, so.
And they kind of move like them also with the way they like intertwine amongst each other as they're moving and stuff. It's, I never really thought of that.
Definitely seems that one sort of influenced the other in some way, shape, or form. So, all right, good one. You have a lot of duos, though. That's interesting.
I like the pairs.
Yeah, no, that's cool. My next one starts as the sidekick and then becomes the better, I would say, by the end of the film. Because without Vanellope von Schweetz, Wreck-It Ralph does not make it to the end of the movie. But she starts off as the glitch who can't do anything right, and he's kind of stuck with her. It's sort of, you know, like, I want an Easter egg. And she's just kind of like pulling on his leg. But as the film goes along, it's her who makes, you know, Ralph into a better person. And then he becomes a sidekick because she's the princess and she's the best, driver in the whole game. And she's kind of the hero.
Yeah.
You know, she gets to be the hero from the efforts of Ralph, but she ultimately is the hero. But for most of the movie, she is the sidekick until Ralph breaks that trust. And then when he has to ask for her back, he kind of becomes her sidekick.
Yeah.
But I love Sarah Silverman's work on this character so much. She makes this character absolutely adorable, especially with the, you know, wrap myself up like a little old lady.
Little homeless lady.
Yeah, that's like, it's not even a funny line. That's a pretty disturbing line.
Terrible.
But I absolutely thought it was one of the most adorable pieces of little animation. So she is the smarter of the two by leaps and bounds. She's the hero in the end, but she does start off as Ralph's little sidekick who just won't leave him alone. And I don't know, I guess I really like that, evidently. I like it when the sidekick grows through the film and then eventually becomes not the sidekick, or whatever you would call it, the other one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you like it when the sidekick's really buggy and annoying, because that's why you chose me.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that time when you start, you know, getting above
It'll happen.
No.
That would actually be a really cute Halloween costume, though. Like, put not real, but put candy like in your hair and stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you could probably make like a hair net that you could put in your hair.
Or you could like make barrettes that are not really candy.
Or you can just melt a bunch of Tootsie Rolls and just throw them in your hair. That's a way to go about it.
Probably not the best idea.
I don't know. Is that going to look good?
I think that'll look good.
Probably melt in the heat and outside in Florida anyway.
That's true.
So yeah. It really wouldn't matter. Ryan P. Wilson.
All right, I cheated. I threw out all the rules, or I bent them to however I needed them to fit.
Attaboy.
I pulled out Bernardo from Zorro.
Oh, my dear Lord.
I don't know what – I love Zorro. I've loved it for 20 years since I discovered it. And they made a film that they released back to theaters called The Sign of Zorro, which basically just took the first 8 episodes, butchered them to death, and then squeezed them into a film – so they can put it back out and make money off of it. So that's my workaround to get this sense of a list. But, you know, he's Zorro's psychic. He is mute, but he comes back and pretends he's deaf as well, so he can be Zorro's eyes and ears everywhere in the town. He plays really well off of Sergeant Garcia. So we have Gene Sheldon and Henry Calvin, who, you know, everyone more would recognize from Babes in Toyland. But he just plays that you know, he's always there to help Zorro. He's as smart as he is. He just doesn't have the voice, and he doesn't have, you know, the prowess of Zorro. But he's always there helping, and I love the character.
When did that movie come out? Could we throw that in there? Because, I mean, we've already
the
done.
The Zorro was 58. So, I'm sorry, it was 60. The series started in 58.
I think we can throw it in. I want to throw it in. You want to know?
I don't know. Because I'm fine fascinated.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good point. If we can find it, that'll be a thing. Because also they sort of did the same thing with Davy Crockett. Also, with cutting it all up and throwing it out there, and we sat through that one.
You want to see it again, and you don't have a way to watch it at home. Come to the theaters and give us more money.
Yeah. But Disney wasn't greedy back then, Ryan. It's only now.
I know.
Yeah.
That's bad for implying such things.
All right. Really going into left field on that one. Wow. Bri, did you want to have – I have one more that I wanted to bring up.
I got one more. I'm going to kind of cheat, but at least these two are on the same side in this movie.
At least they're in the same movie. It's good.
Yeah.
Start.
It's Russell and Doug from Up.
Nice. Yeah. You know what? Doug, I was really torn. I wanted to put Doug on my list. I thought that he earned it.
He did.
Man,
I mean,
it's good.
His story makes me tear up. It's so sad, his story. And Russell is the one who brings what's his name? Oh my God. Carl.
Oh, Carl. Sorry.
Brings him back to brings life back to him, brings back, gives him a purpose again, kind of, and stuff like that. And the two of them, I think they're just fun. They're fun characters the whole movie.
Yeah.
Russell he's adorable for the character. He's just sweet kid. And Doug is, like I said, it was like a heartbreaking, I felt sad for him. It was along the lines of like Stitch, where's my family? Like, I'm looking for my family in the woods type of stuff. Like, that's how it hit me. And I was just, I love the two of them. I love Up. That is probably my favorite, Pixar movie. And yeah,
it's really interesting about that, actually, because I was just looking at this. Doug and Alpha are done by the same voice actor, Bob Peterson.
Really?
Isn't that kind of funny? Yeah. Like, that's like of all the characters in that film.
Yeah.
For Doug and Alpha to be the same voice actor is kind of perfect. Like, that really, really works out well. And am I wrong that would Russell be the first Asian American kid who kind of leads a movie in a Disney film?
Mulan.
Well, she was an Asian American.
Boy. Let me put it that
boy,
way.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
And then Big Hero 6.
And then, that was the next.
So, like, after never really doing that in the film, they did, they had characters of that nationality kind of close to each other, which is great. I mean, not that, like, you have to do it, because it's just that it works for those characters. It's the right fit for that story. But I don't know why. It just struck me now. I was like, that's another, like, little weird thing. So, man, Up is great. Up's nuts. I mean, 40 minutes into that movie, there are talking dogs.
I mean, going into that movie, you're like that run of Pixar movies during that time with Ratatouille. I was like, I don't, there's a rat that cooks. No, thank you. And same thing with Up. It's like the guy floats away with balloons on his house. Yeah, that's OK. And those are probably two of my favorite Pixar movies. So I don't know. They just they have something with when. They haven't. They've been a little off, I think. Lately, I guess.
Finding Dory was shockingly Dory good.
Good Dinosaur was.
Good Dinosaur.
Whatever.
Yeah. I kind of forgot that thing existed already.
Yeah.
Cars 3 is next spring.
Cars 3 is next spring. Thank God.
Yeah. So I mean, but Finding Dory was great, but that also is based off of something that they already have. So it, I think it's a little different, but so that's my final
call
time. And I had Kronk on there too, but I was saving that for you. So
attaboy. Melissa, do you want to have one more?
Okay.
And then we'll go into like a fast fire round.
Well, actually, most of mine have been said already. I had Kronk too, so, and Smee and Mushu.
How many people are going to be yelling, how did you forget this guy, how did you forget this woman? I know it
probably. I want to say this one, but I'm nervous that you have it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm gonna go with Buzz and Woody, because they kind of play sidekick and lead, like they flip-flop a lot. Initially, I feel like Buzz is, like, almost like the sidekick. Like, he's learning that he's not, you know, a toy and, like, kind of, you know, working with Woody to get back to Andy. But Woody's definitely the leader. And then, like, you know, when they're in Sid's room, you know, like, it's kind of... What?
I love how you're looking at me so intently right now. Like,
sorry, I won't look at
your case.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like you were going to be they're not really sidekicks. But
you know what? You can argue that. You can make that argument, because I would say Slinky is more of a sidekick.
Yeah.
To that, or Bullseye would be a sidekick in that one. But I understand where you're coming from. You know what the thing is with them is that they hated each other for so long.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like where it comes in tough, because, like I was saying, Cap and Bucky, and if Cap and Bucky are in a movie, another movie, that would be like Woody and Buzz now.
Yeah.
Because they're equals on the battlefield, like, in a way. Yeah. I know Toy Story isn't. If Toy Story is a war film, you know what? Not bad. I would, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, there's definitely casualties in Sid's room. And then, like, out in the field, you know, in Pizza Planet, and they're trying to get back.
Yeah, it's because someone tried to eat a Pizza Planet. We didn't know what that actually meant until they tried to open a Pizza Planet and tried to feed a swill. That was me in that, you know, molten pit. That was me trying to eat Pizza Planet. So
anyway,
so I don't know. It's a tough one, but I see where you're coming from, and I'll allow it.
Thank you.
All right, my last one. You know what? I have two last ones. I just want to give a quick shout out to Pleakley from Lilo and Stitch.
Mm.
I was really bummed when they took his statue out of Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I like that one.
Kevin McDonald makes a character who also could have been Nails on Chalkboard awesome, which is kind of what he's done his entire career from Kids in the Hall and beyond. And he is working across from David Ogden Stiers, who, you know, Codsworth. And he's also voices Kamaji in Spirited Away, the Boiler Keeper. So I really loved him. But if anyone's going to be said... Near the end of the show, because I want to just make sure Ryan doesn't have any more. There is no more. There are no two better soulmates in any animated Disney film than Toad and his horse, Cyril. Those two will literally run into a fire together because it might be funny. Absolutely love them. They are... It became one of my favorite movies because of this show.
Yeah.
And it really, really is enduring. So that's my final shot of this round. Ryan, do you want to – I'm going to give you last licks. Do you have anyone that you want to say last as a throw-in?
The one I had as a throw-in, and she's taken on such a life of her own, but Tinkerbell, and it's for the, you know, it's a very similar to the Mittens – thing, you know, she's sassy. She kind of has that temperament of like, I'm going to do what I want, and you can either come along or I'll go off on my own. I don't care. But now she's, you know, she's so iconic with everything else with Disney and television show and the parks that it's almost like she's lost a piece of who she was as that sidekick. But I think, you know, that was one I had down there for honorable mention.
Very good. That's a perfect way to end it, actually, I think. Oh, well, you got another one now?
Never
she didn't
mind.
Have anything. Now she's got another one.
Well,
go,
I didn't know.
Yeah,
we
go ahead. Yeah, no, you know, you're right. You're right. Let's do some quick shots. What do you got?
Well, I really like Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. I do think he's like, you know, he tries to be a good sidekick. He does a better job than Flounder. So
yeah, Flounder's
I'll give him
useless.
That. Yeah,
Flounder's like Chip. He's totally useless.
Yeah,
well, actually, Chip kind of is useful at
Chip
the end.
Saves him. Yeah,
ugh, it really aggravates me because I hate that character so much.
I can't forget Pegasus because he is really funny.
Yep.
And the headbutt is probably
Headbutt's
my favorite.
Classic, yeah.
Sven from Frozen, he's definitely Kristoff's sidekick.
Why not?
He helps them. And also an underrated film or undermentioned film, Pascal from Rapunzel or Tangled.
Yeah, I guess it's still kind of undermentioned.
A little bit.
It is a bathroom. I mean, yeah,
well, yeah,
I guess
she got her
that's
bathroom.
Kind of a weird thing.
She's in the castle show now. So
that's true. She kind of did get an upgrade on that. One really big one I just want to bring up: Mike Wazowski, the ultimate sidekick.
Oh yeah, geez. Yeah.
So, and through all the films, like never really changes. He is forever the sidekick to Sully in almost everyone's eyes, maybe except Sully himself. But that would be that. And then also the Roach and Wally, just because.
Oh, I was trying to think of one from Wally. Okay,
because there isn't really one from Wally. That's why.
I wanted the little Bernie, the little, not Bernie, the little cleaning one.
Mo. Yeah, Mo. That would be a good one if he was in it more.
Yeah.
If he was in it more. But that whole gang of robots that just basically murders things so Wally can like make his way through, they are pretty good because they are murdering things just to get them where through there.
And that short Bernie is pretty funny.
All right, guys. Well, hey, that's our show for tonight for the top five Disney sidekicks. Not five. That was like eight. But hey, there's a lot of movies to go over. So,
and I'm sure we missed some. So we should
definitely miss some.
Definitely tell us yours.
What I want you to do is when you hear this, I want you to go over to the Facebook page, which you can find if you search for Disney Magic Hour, and let us know what are your favorite duos. That's not this show. What are your favorite Disney sidekicks?
Well, I just happen to pick a bunch of duos, but that's okay.
Yeah, Melissa picked a bunch of duos. What? Two of them, different sidekicks for people she included as one thing. That's how we started this show. That's how that started. So always off to the strangest things of all time. What do you say, guys? Are we going to jump into 101 Dalmatians next week? You feeling that?
Yeah.
Good.
That's good. Yeah.
I have not watched that film in a very, very long time, and I think this marks a different style of animation for the studio.
Yeah, it's like more sketchy.
Yeah, this is definitely a different style than we have seen before, probably because everyone's hands broke after they tried to do Sleeping Beauty with the strain that they put themselves under for doing such a, you know, it's very, very specific line work in that film that permeates through everything in it. They were like, look, this is the loosest sketch that we can get away with, but it's got style to it. It's, you know, like that film sticks out maybe because of that. But no talking about that now. It's silly to talk about it now. Can't do that now. So we're going to talk about that later. What's that? Did you try to punch me?
No.
I'm pretty sure Melissa just tried to punch me, guys. So I'm going to call the cops.
There's no proof. This is audio, not video.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should start recording these things. Oh, we should try to do this show eventually on YouTube one of these years. Oh, that's not going to happen. It's way really expensive. Guys, guess what? This episode of Disney Magic Hour was brought to you by MEI Travel. How nuts is that?
You're nuts.
How nuts is that, guys? We've been doing this show for a little over... You know, yeah, let me go into this because... We've been doing this show for a little over a year. Your support has been incredible. And because of your support... You know, Becky and the people at MEI Travel are now partnered up with us. They are our sponsor. And what I would love for you to do is come down, visit us. Come on down. We're actually meeting up with someone. I don't know if she wants me to say her name on the air, so I won't say it. We're meeting up with a listener on Monday. We're going to go to the Primetime 50s Diner, which I haven't been to
in
so long. I might just record it.
You might as well record that stuff.
Yeah, why not? You know, we're doing that. We got some other people meeting up with us over the weekend, and you should come down. You should definitely come down. Visit us down at Walt Disney World and go over to meitravel.com and get your free quote right over from there from Becky and her team. They'll take care of everything. What was that from? The Godfather?
I don't know.
It was. That's a great plug then. Anytime you get The Godfather into it, you've won. You've won the game. Right now, though... Wait a minute. Before I do that, Ryan?
Yes?
How you doing?
All right.
Yeah?
How you doing?
All right. It's getting late. We're up late.
Yeah, it's past my bedtime.
It's not past. Well, your bedtime should be 9 o'clock, the way that you wake up every morning. But Ryan's a grown man, and he is the main man of the Gazette. Where can everyone find you for the Main Street Gazette, please, sir?
Main Street Gazette is at mainstgazette.com. And all the social media, Main ST Gazette, will get you there on Instagram and Twitter, and search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, and you'll find us there.
Huzzah. Go over there, folks. Read it, share it, talk about it. Right now, though, you are listening to The Trouble. You can find this song and video and more over at youtube.com/pogo and soundcloud.com/pogomix. Oh, wait a minute. Do we have any reviews?
We do not.
Ah, boo.
We got to get some more reviews up, guys.
We need some reviews, guys. Or Melissa's going to cry. Who are we, though? We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DIS Magic Hour Pod. That is Diz Magic Hour Pod. Over on Facebook, join the group at the Dizzy Magic Hour. And of course, then, please, the biggest way you can support us, go over to iTunes, put a 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. Google Play Music also has our podcast if you go into their podcast section, and you can download and stream all of our episodes over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, photos, where are they?
Instagram at Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Huzzah. Till next week, folks. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Good night, Ryan.
Good night, Pete. Say good night, Pogo.
You're weird.
You're weird.